Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, and to the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its space with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 8 in unison. O Lord, our governor, how exalted is your name in all the world. Out of the mouths of infants and children, your majesty is praised above the heavens. You have set up a stronghold against your adversaries to quell the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses, what is man that you should be mindful of him? The son of man that you should seek him out? You have made him but little lower than the angels. You adorn him with glory and honor. You give him mastery over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the wild beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever walks in the paths of the sea. O Lord, our governor, how exalted is your name in all the world.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. Some Pharisees came, and to test him, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So that there are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house of disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But Jesus saw this. He was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these the kingdom of heaven belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Gospels, the difficulty with testing Jesus is that the person who is testing him often winds up, in fact, every time winds up getting schooled. It's often the Pharisees, although sometimes it is the scribes, but often these groups of people bring to Jesus a question in which they're trying to trap him or trick him into saying something that will get him in trouble. They do this about paying taxes. They do it about marrying your brother's widow. They ask about the greatest commandment. And every time, Jesus shuts them down. He silences them. Every time. In fact, it gets so bad that in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we're actually told they stop asking him questions. They're so afraid and challenged by his answers. How does Jesus do this, always shutting them down? Well, first we have to remember that Jesus Christ was and is the most brilliant, intelligent person to ever walk the face of the earth. That's number one. But two, we have to see that he is answering their questions from a relational worldview, a worldview based in the kingdom of God, whereas the Pharisees asked the question from a transactional worldview, the worldview of the kingdom of the world. You see, the Pharisees, with their transactional mindset, are always looking for a contractual advantage. They're always looking for the upper hand. But Jesus, from a relational mindset, proclaims the connection, the mutuality of life between people and with God. Transaction versus relation. So our scripture today, the question is around divorce. Now this is a trap for Jesus, remember, and in one sense, it is a political trap. John the Baptist has just been executed for rebuking Herod and his marriage to his brother's wife. So in one sense, the Pharisees are hoping that Jesus will say something about divorce that may get him executed as well. But there's also a cultural trap. For you see, Moses, the highest authority in Jewish thought, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, allows men to divorce their wives by writing it down on a piece of paper and giving it to them. That's it. And I need to point out that the reason of adultery for divorce is not mentioned here. Adultery is mentioned later, and the penalty of that is death. Here, this is simply, is divorce allowed? And for the people, the groups that were arguing that divorce is certainly allowed in this manner, they said it was allowed in any reason. The school of thought back in the day by the Rabbi Hillel argued that this method of divorce could be used if the wife ruined the husband's dinner, or if he finds another woman more beautiful than his current wife. These were valid reasons for divorce. Now, we have to also realize, though, that the group of people who are arguing against divorce were not doing it from a relational mindset. They were not arguing for equality of women. They were arguing against divorce from a transactional mindset, and this is what I mean. Back in this day, a woman, a wife, came with a dowry. There was wealth that was given along with the woman. If you get a divorce, are you supposed to return that? Also, to put it poetically, if you divorce a woman, she cannot be returned in new mint condition. And back in this day and age, that was a degree of shame in society. So if the woman was lucky, her family would accept that shame, and they would take her back in and take care of her. And it would be shameful to the family. If the family was not so loving, then a woman had two options after divorce: beg or become a prostitute. So those arguing against divorce were not doing it championing the equality of women. They were doing it from a place of, we have integrity, or we need to have integrity around our contractual responsibilities, accepting wealth with the woman, but also not have her be a burden on society if we let her go. So either if they were for divorce or against divorce, this was a contractual way of thinking. You see, transactions rely on boundaries. They define who has and who hasn't, who is and who isn't. Transactions are a cornerstone of the kingdom of the world. And so into this trap, Jesus responds with the language of relationship. And he does so using and relying on poetic language. The first thing he does is he says that it was not from the beginning that God wanted divorce, but only because of your hardness of heart did he allow it. And you see, the Jewish mind is poetic, it's artistic, and so every word not only has a meaning, it has a history of meanings. And if you know your Bible well enough, you'll know that hardness of heart refers to Pharaoh, the king of the society that did not treat the Israelites as human beings, but as an economic engine for prosperity. Pharaoh enslaved the Israelites. He did not treat them as human beings. And so, one, Jesus is calling out that these Israelites who allow divorce are more like Pharaoh than they are their creator. He also returns to the beautiful and mythical language of Genesis, Jesus does, and says a couple things relationally. He says that a man will leave his mother and his father, the primary basis of relationship in his life, and will marry his wife, and they will become one flesh. And this gets really deep here, and I'm thankful that our first reading was this reading from Genesis. For you remember, our first reading says that the man was lonely. And so God created every type of being, every creature, to be a partner for the man. But after creation was done, the man was still lonely. And so God put the man to sleep, and as our English says, took a rib out of him. The problem is that the Hebrew word that we translate as rib is actually untranslatable, but it's much more expansive. The closest we could get to is that God removed an entire side of flesh from Adam and created woman. So rather than being just a part, it was actually a half, a having, a huge chunk of Adam became Eve. And so in marriage, two spouses return to actually the original union, oneness, as created by God. You see, Jesus is saying here that a spouse is not property. A spouse is a person, and not just a person, but your person, your very self. So instead of creating boundaries, defined lines for transaction, Jesus destroys boundaries, proclaiming here in marriage a mutual, organic, sacred oneness of two people. And he also invites us, as he always does, to live in the ever-relationality of everyone. That is the kingdom of God. No wonder the Pharisees stopped asking him questions. See, if you attempt a relational worldview from a transactional mindset, it's impossible. Because from that vantage point, we'll always be keeping score. You'll always see if you're ahead or if you're behind. And most often, you'll feel if you're behind because you're focusing on the advantage, not on the relationship. And so what we need as a society is a reboot. We need a restart, a redemption of our mindset away from the transactional and back to who we truly are, the relational. Thankfully, the perfect teachers are all around us in our children. And this is why this piece of scripture has the story of the children coming to Jesus right after this story. You see, Jesus says that the kingdom of God belongs to children. It is theirs. They are natives in it. And you and I, we must receive it like them. So how do children live in the kingdom of God? So I have a 4-year-old daughter. And often she will come home from school and she will say, "Oh, Daddy, Mommy, Beth is my best friend, and I love my teacher, Mrs. Joyner." And then the next day she'll come home and she'll go, "Oh, Mommy, Daddy, Sue is my best friend, and I love my teacher, Miss Ellis." And here's the truth. That's true. There's no conditions, there's no levels of best friends or love for her. Everyone is her best friend. She loves them all abundantly. It even extends to her toys often or her treats. I may give her a lollipop and she'll grab it and she'll smile and say, "This is my favorite." And it's true. It is her favorite because she's abundantly in love with the people in her life and the things in her life. She's grateful and joyous for it all. And so we have to remember that we are children. We are God's children. Jesus said, Abba, Father. Abba translates to daddy. You and I are in the abundant love and grace of the goodness of God. You know, we celebrate today the life of Saint Francis. And I think we're all familiar with that. Francis lived into this relationality so deeply that even the animals were his friends. But did you know that Francis, seeking to live out this mutual oneness of everyone, in the height of the Crusades, traveled to the Holy Land and was able to get an audience with the Sultan of the Islamic world back then. And for 4 days, Francis told him about Christianity, told him about the love of Jesus, and did it in a way that was so respectful, so loving, that after 4 days, the Sultan said to him, if there were more Christians like you, I would convert. But outside my walls, there are thousands of Christians trying to kill me, and therefore I cannot. Mutual oneness is God's call in our lives. And here's the kicker: in living into our childlikeness, in seeing God as and in a child, we actually engage and reflect the true nature of God. See, we've all been lied to. At some point in our life, we were told that God is this old man with a long beard and a staff that hangs out by the pearly gates in heaven. Now, whether we agree with that image or not, it's still in our minds. It's still a concept we have that God is this old person. Well, God is not an old man with a beard. In fact, God's very nature shines through the nature of a child. And to explain this, let me close with some words from G.K. Chesterton, a 19th century theologian, in his book Orthodoxy. Here he speaks on the nature of God and the nature of children. Because children have abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free, therefore they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, do it again. And the grown-up person does it again until he is nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony. But perhaps God is strong enough to exult in monotony. It is possible that God says every morning, do it again, to the sun, and every evening, do it again, to the moon. It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but has never gotten tired of making them. It may be that God has the eternal appetite of infancy. For you and I, we have sinned and grown old, and God our Father is younger than us.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we live in a frightening world. You promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. Hear us now as we pray to you. For the peace of the whole world, that nations and peoples may come to understand and respect one another, we pray especially for an end to the violence in the Middle East and on the streets of our own cities. Lord, in your mercy. For the poor, the sick, the lonely, and those who are grieving, that they may find comfort and solace in your presence, I invite you to speak aloud the names of those in need. Lord, in your mercy. For this community, that we may boldly serve you without fear. Lord, in your mercy. For the city of Jacksonville, that your Holy Spirit may inspire us to revitalize the urban core. Lord, in your mercy. For the earth, that we may use its fruits to your glory and for the good of all creation. Lord, in your mercy. For all who have died, that they may see you face to face, especially Bill Maurer, I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died. Lord, in your mercy. For the courage to face our own limitations, faults, and failings, and for the gift of your grace, Lord, in your mercy.
Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. May the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Well, good morning. So excited to have you all here today. If you are new visiting, we would like to give you a small bag of information. So if you would like a little more to know about St. John's, please raise your hand and one of our ushers will bring you a bag. Or you can also fill out a newcomer card in the pews. Some announcements for today. Dean Kate is sharing the good news of the Kingdom of God this whole weekend with the Episcopal Church women in the Diocese of Alabama. So she is out there sharing the good news while we are here celebrating it as well. So she'll be back tonight. Tomorrow evening, the Men's Grill and Chill is at 6 p.m. in Tolliver Hall. All men are welcome. Tomorrow is also the Cathedral's Day to Feed the Homeless at Sulzbacher. So see your bulletin for more details. We have some new classes on Wednesday nights, as well as some updated information, which you'll also find in your bulletin. And then after the service, we are celebrating Ed Graves' birthday. Please join us for cake. And then, gentlemen, bring me the wall of fear. So for our stewardship season this year, we are tearing down a wall of fear, one brick at a time, which will then reveal the life and ministry and abundance that is St. John's. And so we have 10 bricks to remove today. Well done. So who wants to lend me a helping hand? Anyone? Anyone? You're here? Okay. So I'm going to take this little one on top. A 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'll hold on to these. You got them? All right, Carl. Good man, good man. So as you can see, as the bricks come down, the life and ministries of St. John's will be revealed. So please do me a favor. If you're considering of pledging, or if you're in prayer about pledging, consider doing it sooner rather than later so I don't have 115 bricks on the last Sunday. Again, we are so glad you are here. And now walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have fulfilled the law of love and taught us of our responsibilities and relationships to one another. In him you have made us all one flesh, making us all children of glory and brothers and sisters in every respect, in service to the Lord of life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the Word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil, and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacraments of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country wherewith the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. John, St. Francis, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God. Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitor who will take communion to those who cannot be with us today. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My brothers and sisters, life is short, and there is too little time to gladden the hearts of those around us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Hallelujah. Let us go forth to give, serve, and love the Lord fearlessly.